Okay, we're going to take a break from the book of Ephesians. We covered the first half, and we took 9 weeks to do that. We'll cover the second half sometime down the road. So today's message, next week's message, are going to be standalone messages. Today's message is entitled Becoming a Third Class Passenger. And it was inspired on the occasion where Trish and I were going, I think it was for an anniversary meal at a restaurant on the bottom floor of a tall building in Sacramento. It was the Wells Fargo building. And we arrived early, which was wonderful. I mean, you never make me happier than when we're early somewhere. And we're in this huge lobby, and the reservations were about 20 minutes away. So in this lobby, we started looking around, and there was a Wells Fargo theme. And there was a renovated stagecoach. And then there was all of the accoutrements to that, a lockbox and shotguns. And they also had some tickets. And they also had an article from the Omaha Herald of 1877 that gave some counsel and advice to any would-be stagecoach rider. They said, don't imagine for a moment that you are going on a picnic. Expect annoyance, discomfort, and some hardship. And if you're disappointed in that, thank heaven. And it also gave some counsel, okay, for instance, don't point out places on the road where horrible murders have been committed if delicate women are among the passengers. The one I like the most, don't grease your hair before you start. Otherwise, dust will stick to it in sufficient quantities to make a respectable tater patch. And then don't lop over on your neighbor while sleeping. So I also noticed that they had three different kinds of tickets. Three different classes of tickets. You know, sort of like when we're going to fly somewhere, we have three options. Either we have first class, business class, or economy. I think that they should actually rename it. You know, in the vernacular, it's the uppities, the wannabes, and the chumps. Okay. I'm very familiar with the chump status there. But there were first, second, and third class tickets for the stagecoach. Now, if you bought a first class ticket to the stagecoach, it enabled you to remain seated in the coach for the entire trip, if you so desired. No matter what happened, if you got stuck, if there was a steep grade, whatever it was, you were able to just sit and just observe. That's first class. Second class is a little different in that you could remain seated unless there was a problem. Say, for instance, if the grade was a little too steep and the driver was concerned about it, you had to get out of the stagecoach and just walk alongside. Or if there was if you were stuck in the mud, you had to get off, lighten the load. You didn't have to actually help anything, just other than getting off and lighting the load. If a wheel broke, you had to just get off and allow them to fix it, but it was other people. That's second class. What do you think third class is? You know what chump status is here. Not only required you to get off if there was a problem, but you had to get directly involved in resolving whatever issue it was. So if the cage stoach was stuck in the mud, yeah, sure, you had to get out and get muddy in order to get that thing out. If you were up a steep grade, you had to get out and help push the stagecoach up. If there was some sort of a problem with the wheel, you had at the direction of the driver to help fix this. First, second, and third class. And as I'm reading that before our meal, I'm thinking to myself, as preachers often do, there's a parable of life in that, right? That we can go through life with a first class ticket mentality or second class ticket mentality or a third class ticket mentality. Which one do you think Jesus opted for? In his journey among us. Was it first class, you know, I will just stay inside and I'll just watch everybody with the problems and the issues in this world? Or was it second class, or at least I'm willing to lighten the load a little bit, but don't ask me to get involved? Or is it third class, where Jesus says, if there's a need, I am fully engaged to meet that need? That is, in essence, what we heard from Jesus as Trish read the scripture this morning, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, first or second class. He came to serve, to give his life a ransom for many, third class. So the one who owns it all, the one who directs it all, the one who comes to journey among us, he is a third-class passenger. And that's not just some nifty slogan. It's not a pious platitude. It's not a grand ideal. It was the heartbeat of Jesus. It's what he earnestly yearned to do. Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. A few days after he spoke to the disciples about this, this was just on their way to Jerusalem and his crucifixion. Just a few days after our scripture, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. And he demonstrates this third-class ticket mentality in dramatic fashion. It's in the upper room. It's right before the Last Supper. And there is a big need in the room. And that need is that everybody in the room has got filthy feet, dust, dirt, and dung all on the feet. And what intensifies the problem is that they're going to eat soon. And if you're sitting in a chair, at least there's a few feet in between your feet and your nose, okay? But they don't have chairs. They are reclining, which puts your sniffer a few inches away from your neighbor's feet, okay? So not one disciple is making a third-class move in this setting to address the need. They're not even making a second-class move, which would be to go and get the basin, the water, and the towel, and then just ask, okay, who's going to do it now? That's second class. Let somebody else take care of this mud, was the opinion of those who sat around the table. All 12 disciples sitting around the table, they had this narrative that was playing inside of their heads and in their hearts. And that narrative was that, you know, our culture has drawn a very clear distinction, boundaries around class. And washing someone's feet squarely falls into the category of a slave. And I ain't nobody's slave. That's what the 12 are thinking. Only poor chumps who have to go through life with a third-class ticket will have to do that. I've at least got a second-class ticket. And on a good day, I'm first class. So who's going to take care of this mud? That's what the disciples are thinking. I can't do it. Otherwise, my fellow disciples will think I am their lackey, and I ain't their lackey. So everyone was just kind of looking at everyone else, trying to figure out, okay, who's going to make a move here? Jesus had a different inner narrative that was going on. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. And so Jesus gets up, and in a profound act of stunning service, he humbly washes the feet of the disciples, the dirt, the filth, the dung, he washes it away. And in so doing, he's in absolute harmony with his mission, with his calling, with his Father, with his kingdom, just with himself. It's what he yearned to do. And when he concludes, he looks at the disciples and he says, okay, now this is what the kingdom looks like, right there. You've just seen it in action. I give you an example so that you should go and do as I have done. That in the upper room. Just one additional observation about this foot washing scene before we return back to the scripture that Trish read for us. John introduces the whole foot washing scene with this commentary. So Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, arose and he washed the disciples' feet. So that scripture is saying that the Father had given Jesus authority and power over all 12 who were seated at that table. And around that table, Jesus knew that there was a betrayer, that there was a denier, that they were all going to be deserters. So this is spiritual wartime. What do we do with traitors and deserters in wartime? We do not treat them well. Jesus held all of the cards, could have done anything at this point. He could have severely rebuked the disciples and said, I can't believe that you've been with me for 3 years and you're still looking at each other to see who's going to serve who. I can't believe that you're still doing that given what I am about to do. He could have said that. Or he could have said, you know what? This just ain't working. The lot of you, you're all fired. I'm going to take 12 others. We're going to do round two and see if the second set will get it right. He could have done that, but Jesus didn't, because he's walking through life with a third-class passenger mentality. He's the one who gets his own hands filthy in serving the very ones who would abandon him, deny him, betray him. So rewind back a few days before the Last Supper occurs. Back to the original scripture that Trish read for us. Two of the key disciples, you know, like there's Peter, James, and John. Is James and John, they're asking for first-class seating in the kingdom. Jesus, on your left and on your right. That's what we want. We want you to facilitate our vanity, and we want you to facilitate our first-class ambitions. And, of course, the other 10 disciples, when they hear about this, are thinking, well, what are we, chop liver? You know, what makes you think you're better than us? We all deserve to be at Jesus' right and left. So there's this squabble that breaks out, and Jesus steps into the squabble to do what Jesus does best, to invert, always invert. He says, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. Jesus is inverting. He's saying, you know, actually it's the third class serving. That's the ticket to kingdom greatness. That's the ticket you want. Greatness is not found in the number of people who serve you. Greatness is found in serving others, even those who do not deserve to be served by you. This is what third class doing, serving does for you. It'll get you where you want to go. So, those who are clutching a hold of their first class, I'd rather not get involved mindset, you can go through life more comfortable and it's more convenient than the other two classes, but it's a bad investment of your one and only life. It's a bad investment. Jesus says you'll never get to ultimately where you want to go with this first class ticket mentality. The only way to really find life, vibrant life, is if you serve, if you give your life away, if you opt for this first class, let other people serve me mentality, your life actually is going to be fairly boring, predictable, dull, limited, soul shriveling. I mean, even a second class ticket mentality, you know, where you're not a burden, you're not going to oppose anything, but you're not going to lift a finger to help, where you're watching all of the others do the work, where the inner narrative is, you know what, I've done my time. Let somebody else do it. I'm not going to stand in the way, but I'm not going to get involved now. I just don't have that energy anymore. This mentality, it insulates you from the true adventure of greatness with a third-class ticket. It's the third-class ticket. That's the adventure ticket. That's the e-ticket. Remember e-tickets? They don't. You do. I love saying that on occasion. We'll talk about e-tickets later. You and I were created and we were redeemed to travel third class. We were created and we were redeemed to invest our lives, not in the narrow, stifling circles of our self-absorbed comforts, but in the enterprise of following the lead of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. Now, James and John, they would eventually get it. They would say, okay, Jesus, we want to swap tickets. We'll hand in our first class ticket and give us that third class one that we see you exemplifying. The action point for this message, I want you right now to fast forward to the very end of your life, okay? Now, for some of us, we're in the fourth quarter. That won't take very long to fast forward to that point. But just fast forward and then just back off 30 minutes. That's all. 30 minutes. And I want you to ask yourself, when was my life, as I look back over it, when was my life at its most poignant? The moments, the seasons. When was life really worth living? When did I feel most alive? Maybe not the most comfortable, but the most alive. When was it? It will inevitably be those moments where you served other people, where you were living for something far greater than just your own comfort and yourself. I get to sit in my office to craft these messages, and it's in the manse, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I just see a steady stream of people walking down toward the thrift store. And I'm thinking to myself, this actually, it's a huge mission. It's a huge touch point for our church and for the kingdom. I mean, I'm ashamed to say, but we touch a whole lot more people there than here. Now, we're going to work to see if we can change that here. But right now, by a factor of X, there are far more people who are touched by the kingdom at the thrift store. And I'm thinking to myself, I got to get in on some of that kingdom action. I am not going to do a first-class ticket. I'm not going to do a second-class ticket on that one. So it's like, okay, where can the preacher help? Well, you can help not getting in the way here, not getting in the way there, but here's where you can help. You look like a dumb brute. Why don't you just come Tuesday morning and we'll unload and set things up for the week? So, I mean, I'm involved in the kingdom. I get to be a third-class passenger in that respect. And you know what? I think there's some spots open for some other folks. If you want to be a cashier, for instance, now that's a cushy kind of a thing. You get to sit inside, so when it's cold, you have a little heater. I don't think Brett and Joan will allow you to sip margaritas in there, but you know, it's a cushy place. But it's one of those things that either in the morning or in the afternoon of one day a week. One day a week. It's kingdom action. There's sorters and folders. My wife is a good sorter and folder. You can join Trish in sorting and folding all of these clothes. If you kind of like to tinker with electronics or electricity, there's a spot available for you. You know, there's all kinds of things that come in that, you know, there's a little something that doesn't work here or there that it would sell in a heartbeat if it was really fixed. And so if you want to just kind of tinker, and I don't know, probably Brett and Joe would kill me, but it's like, you know, okay, if you fry what it is that you're working on, it's not like we lost any money, right? Okay, so I mean, just give it a shot there, okay? It's got to be more than just about what you get here on a Sunday morning. It's got to be what you can give, what you can give, third class. And it's not just the thrift store. It can be the kids' time. You know, Bonnie talked this morning about just the need of those who are willing to serve, those who are the most impressionable in terms of the kingdom. The percentages vary anywhere between 75 and 95% of all people who come to faith do it before they're 18. Because that's when you're most impressionable. And you get to work Friday nights with those who are the most kingdom impressionable, where your efforts can make a huge decades-long difference. So there's another option. There's plenty of other options. I would love it if just one or two or three of you came up and said, okay, Pastor Bob, I'll tell you how I'd love to serve and how I feel called to serve. The students who are coming to us from the Idlewild Art School, it's a very pressure-packed and at times can be a very secular environment. I will commit to pray for every single student who comes to our church as a result of ministry and worship here. I just love to pray that God would continue to mold and shape and use them and guide and protect them. And that can happen through prayer. So if there's some folks who would just love to serve the kingdom in that way, come to me and I'll help facilitate that. In other words, don't check out, clock in. Clock in. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, you came not to be served, you came to serve. And you came to give your life. Literally, you came to give your soul as a ransom. And you call us to follow in your train, in your shoes. You call us, as you called your disciples, not to a first-class ticket mentality, not even to a second-class ticket mentality, but to one that's really willing to roll up the sleeves and engage in serving those, some of whom do not even deserve to be served, but you demonstrated to us that at the call of your Father, we are to engage. May it be that this service-intensive lifestyle would characterize who we are as disciples and as a church, and as a result, reach a world that desperately needs to see the gospel enacted in servant ways. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.